last time, I was speaking about, are you seeing the bigger picture? And this bigger picture that I'm talking about is not about ourselves, is not about a man building his own ministry or empire, is not about a denomination or an organization. It is about the kingdom of God. And that is our proclamation. That is our gospel. That is what we preach. That is always what God has purposed and planned. And that is what is being restored in these last days. Because for many centuries, Christians sadly have not really seen the bigger picture. And that is declaring the kingdom of God. And through the lack and power of the Holy Spirit, this is what happens. And so the gospel becomes soulish. It becomes man-made. And so you begin to hear with the gospel man's ideas of what he thinks the kingdom of God is. And so sadly the kingdom of God is around about himself, his wants, his needs, what he thinks. But that is not the message that is to be taught. And I want to open this up yet further, and I won't go into this because this is all online, what we taught last time. But today, I want to, as I bring this to a close, are you seeing the bigger picture? I want to talk about Christ's mission is our commission. Christ's mission is our commission. And our mission is to be fundamentally a continuation of Christ's ministry that he left on the earth. Christ's ministry was to be continued, to be taken up, if you like, taking up the mantle that Christ left, that the church would now continue to proclaim and teach and be that example of what Christ left on the earth. But sadly, a lot of that has gone. We no longer see this any longer. But I believe that we are in the time of restoration, when all things are being restored. We have seen through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the charismatic move. We have seen that God has purposed through that in which to place the seed back into the woman, that is the church, that she may see the bigger picture of what this outpouring was about. Not just to empower, not just to empower a man that he will have his own mission or ministry and go off and do his own thing, but it is to restore apostolic faith, to build the church, to restore her back, so that she may be ready, adorned, waiting for the bridegroom to come. That is the vision. And anything that is different to that will not embrace the bigger picture. And sadly, ministry today, evangelism today, hasn't really got the bigger picture. And that is why we see so little. So little stands. Even when we have these revivals, we just see a fragmentation of it left. It never fulfills really its purpose. Because the bigger picture is not seen. Why is it the church, Christians, are not seeing the bigger picture? Because to see the bigger picture means that you, I, have to get out of the way of that picture. And that is the death to the self-life. Allowing the Holy Spirit to crucify the self-life, to get you out of the way, so that the bigger picture can be embraced and seen. This is always the problem. Man's pride, religious intellect, will otherwise get in the way. There cannot be two people on a throne. Only one can be on that throne, and you have to decide whether it's going to be yourself or King Jesus. That is the ultimate. So the question we raise is then, what was Christ's mission on the earth? And we see this in John chapter 20, John chapter 20 and verse 21. Chapter 20 and verse 21. And so Jesus said to them, that is the disciples again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Unless one is sent, it doesn't stand. Now we have always assumed that that is simply for ministers. And yes, the Lord was speaking to the apostles, because the apostles were going to be used in which to bring about the birth of the church. And that is why God then had them in the upper room, and there the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and there the church, that is the visible church, was manifest and seen. But that wasn't to remain and stay in that upper chamber. The 120 were to be sent, were to go out. And so the church has to, in a sense, be sent. That is its apostolic authority and power. And unless it is sent, unless the Holy Spirit builds, it is in vain, as the scriptures tell us. And I think we just have to face the fact that we have a lot out there that is not sent, is not really being built by the Spirit of God. And that may come as a bit of a shock, but I have been over 30 years in ministry, and more I am seeing that that is the case. And as the trials and the tests come, and as God is shaking the church before he judges the world, because judgment begins first in the house of God, we are seeing the church is being shaken, and God is allowing it, and he will continue to let it be shaken until nothing is left except those who are sent and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that is a fact. So what was Christ's mission? Quite clearly here. He was sent by the Father. And so as the Father has sent me, so I also send you. In other words, the way I walked is the way you walk. And Jesus was sent by the Father. That is why he's called the Christ, the Anointed One. And that is why we call ourselves Christians or Christians, which really means the Anointed One. But sadly, it's a word that's used today, and many jump on the bandwagon and call themselves Christians when in fact, sadly, they are not. Because Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them, not by what they say. So this was Christ's mission. And that is why I'm calling it Christ's mission is our commission. Now, there are many, many thoughts and ideas of what Christ's ministry on the earth is and was. And I'll just give you some ideas in passing to what you will hear today, but never is really what the Word of God says. And some hold to the fact that Christ's mission was to forgive our sins. And a lot of this has truth. But it is not seeing the bigger picture, because that's what we're dealing with. So some hold the fact that he came to forgive us our sins. Or some hold to the fact that he came to establish the church. Some hold that he really came to fulfill the law of the prophets. Some hold that he came to reveal God. Others teach that his purpose, commission, was to come as a teacher, to show us how to be righteous. He also came as a shepherd, to seek out the lost. As I've said, these are all true, but they are not the bigger picture. Some say that he came as a teacher. Some say that he came to heal, to find the lost, and so it goes on and on. All of which has a concept of truth, but it isn't the bigger picture. Most Christians today base Christians' mission to saving the lost and establishing churches. And that's probably the bigger picture that they see. That is ultimately what you will hear from a lot of charismatics, a lot of Christians, and so on, a lot of churches. They will say that it's Christ's mission in saving the lost and establishing churches. But I'm sorry, that is still not the bigger picture, and we wonder why it isn't really fundamentally working. And sadly, a lot of the big mega churches that we do have, a lot of them sadly are brought in simply because they're entertained and it's hype. But we find that history shows us that that doesn't last. So these are some of the concepts that are just around today. Most of the above that I've talked about reveals a certain truth. But why is it we are given the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now I know I brought that up last week, and most today will be reciting that prayer, and most will have little understanding or revelation or experience of that prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are we actually saying in the Lord's Prayer? We're actually saying, Lord, let your kingdom be established on the earth. Because your kingdom is the biggest picture that man can embrace. If you want to embrace God's kingdom, then that is the deeper walk in the Spirit which we preach. And it is a walk that can go as far as you want. Because where does God's kingdom end? Where does it start? Where does it end? It doesn't. It's eternal. It's everlasting. And that is the proclamation. That is the message. That is the good news of the gospel. And when Christians start to emphasize that, you will see the lost out there becoming interested. Because they're not interested about a man exalting himself in ministry. They're not interested about a denomination, an organization. There's enough of that around the world. But they will become interested when you start to declare and reveal God's kingdom, which is to soon be established upon the earth. I revealed last week that even Israel failed in this. Israel, who was called the only nation out of all nations. But she rebelled. She didn't want to see the bigger picture. Israel liked to boast in the fact that she was from the Abrahamic seed. And what did God reveal to Abraham? He said, look up in the sky. He said, can you count all those stars? Well, of course he couldn't. And what was he saying? That is my kingdom. You can't count it. You can see no beginning, you can see no end, and that is what I will establish through your seed. But did Israel see the bigger picture? No. Do Christians today see the bigger picture? No. Why? Because the kingdom of self, pride, is more important. The proud will not inherit God's kingdom. Let's be absolutely clear in this. And that is why Jesus came against the scribes and the Pharisees. Because he was revealing that through his preaching and teaching of the kingdom to be established, that they would not enter into it. And they thought that they would. And history repeats itself over and over again, because human nature doesn't change. And that is why we have to see with this bigger picture that the church is within the kingdom. The church being the people proclaim the kingdom. So if you are in the kingdom, that doorway to the kingdom is through the church, then what do you proclaim? What do you reveal? What do you share? That kingdom. That is why it is a kingdom message. And of course we know that there are some who have taken the kingdom teaching and made a cult of it, so that they see that their church or organisation are going to be the ones that will establish the kingdom on earth. It's the church that's going to do it. It's the people that's going to do it. And never will, because they failed it. There's only one who saw the kingdom. His name is Jesus, who's coming at the second advent. And that means we have to work as co-heirs with him in that establishment, not going off and doing our own thing. And that is where kingdom dominion theology has gone wrong. We can see in scripture where this commission has been given to other saints. This is no new revelation. This is nothing new. For example, let's turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2. Matthew chapter 3 verse 2. Listen to John the Baptist. For this is he who was spoken of the prophets Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. He was preparing the way for Christ to come. What was he believing for? What was he seeing? Was he seeing just a saviour? Was he seeing someone who was going to heal the sick, raise the dead? Was he seeing someone who was going to be a teacher of righteousness? No, he saw the bigger picture. He saw the one, the Lamb of God, coming to establish his kingdom. John the Baptist didn't know at that point in his ministry that his kingdom was temporarily going to be put to one side because his people were going to reject him. He didn't know that, but he was faithful to the light that he had. And that is why he called men and women to repent, to be able to see the bigger picture. And that is what's going out today, brothers and sisters. The message is to repent, to have a true godly repentance, so that you will be prepared to see the bigger picture, that it is the kingdom of God and not some church or ministry being established. Amen? That is what we're proclaiming. That is what I'm doing right now as I preach this message. Mark chapter 1, verses 14-15. Mark chapter 1, verses 14-15. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel is the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is the gospel. You can't separate them. So what gospel is being taught these days? I raise the question. He's in prison. Jesus comes to Galilee. What is Jesus preaching? The gospel of the kingdom of God. He's preaching it. Even though he's going to be king over it, he's still preaching it. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. That was nearly 2,000 years ago. How much closer is it today? Jesus commissions the disciples. He gives them the same message. Here it is in Luke chapter 9, verse 60-61. Luke chapter 9. Verse 60 and 61. And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." Hallelujah. And another said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." But Jesus said to him, "No one, having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." And that is why we have the problem today in the Christian church, because there's not disciples. They're still looking back. Their hearts are still in the world, and that's why they have no real proclamation, and that is of the kingdom. Because unless you are sold out, unless you have put your hand to that plough and you are going forward, how can you ever see the kingdom? You can't see it. You can't see it. What does it say in Acts? Chapter 1 and verse 3. Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. "To whom he also presented himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Even Jesus' ministry for 40 days, what is he preaching about? The kingdom of God. And it is lost today. It's so sad. Chapter 8 and verse 12 of Acts. Here again, let's see it, if you're not convinced. Chapter 8 and verse 12. "But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." Why? Because they were hearing a good gospel, a good message about a kingdom that they're going to. And hence they were baptized. Chapter 20 of Acts. Chapter 20 and verse 25. And indeed now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. That's the Apostle Paul. What does he say he's preaching? He is preaching the kingdom of God. Verses 30-31. What does it say there? Chapter 28, sorry, yes. Chapter 28, verses 30-31, right at the end of the book of Acts. And here he says, when he's in prison here, "Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him." Even though he's in a confinement, he's going to be judged. Yet look here, how his ministry closes. What is he preaching, teaching? The things that pertain to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And we wonder why the Christian message from the church today doesn't turn the world upside down, like it did in the former days. We have no understanding of the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20. "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." And that is why many of us sing it and talk about it. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, And all these things shall be added unto you. When you seek the kingdom, it means the kingdom will be revealed to you by all these things added unto you. And most of it have reduced it today to prosperity. Oh, if I seek the kingdom, I'll get my car, I'll get my house, I'll get my new clothes, I'll get this or that or whatever it is. You're not seeing the bigger picture, brothers and sisters. And that's where prosperity has gone wrong. Because it ministers to self. No! The bigger picture is as you seek the kingdom of God, God will reveal the kingdom message and what pertains to it. Amen? Absolutely. But the church is so guilty of this. And this is why she needs to repent. This is the biggest sin she is committing. Because there's this refusal to do it God's way. They resist discipleship. They resist this walking totally by faith. It's so easy to trust in pride and in the arm of the flesh. You will never see the kingdom. And how the devil has got in and perverting and fouling it all up. Why does the devil want you to see his kingdom? Because by seeing his kingdom, you can't see God's kingdom. Because who's God of this world at the moment? Satan. And all the while the church lets this go on and lets him do what he's doing, you will never see God's kingdom. And therefore the kingdom can never be established. Because that is our message, that is our proclamation. And all the while we're blinded to it, we're still allowing Satan's kingdom to continue on this earth. And the church's mission is to get rid of him. To disempower him. Which Christ did for us at Calvary. And we're all sitting back thinking Christ is going to do it all for us. He's not. When he said it's finished, you now go on and you defeat and destroy his strongholds. But you don't see this. There's no anointing power for this. Because they're still seeing their own kingdom. The kingdom of self. But when you begin to see the kingdom of God and what pertains to the kingdom of God, you begin to see the authority that is given to us by seeking that kingdom. And that is why the devil trembles. Because the church is to rise up in prayer, intercession, spiritual warfare. You can only really war in the spirit if you are beginning to see the kingdom of God. Because your prayers have been wrong otherwise. Directed wrong. Against self, or your own ministry, or your own little empire. Oh, they'll kick up a storm of prayer to establish their empire. Because these empires have to be financed. And that's where they kid you. And that's where they get you to tithe 10%. Did you know that that's Old Testament? That was to Israel only. You will not find tithing under the New Covenant, New Testament. You walk by faith. You do not let your left hand know what your right hand does. Your giving is between you and God. But you see, when they get you to tithe, it doesn't take long to work out the old mathematics, does it? We've got, 500 out there, 10%. We can roughly work out how much we get each week. That is not walking by faith. That's bondage. And yet people queue up to be deceived in this way. That isn't the kingdom of God.
at all. And that's why the church is so guilty today of limiting Christ's mission. And if you don't know what his mission was, how can it ever be our commission? You can't even take up that mantle. It has to be the same as his. The way Jesus walked is the way each one of us is to walk as well. That's why I preached a few weeks ago on the cross. What is a cross for? To take up and die on. That is what it's for, and that's the way Jesus walked, and he said that is the way you walk as well. Because it's the doorway into the kingdom. Sadly, we've led them to our denomination, to our religious organization, and so on. And this is the tragedy today. People give their lives to Christ, but where do so many of them go to? They land up in bondage. They land up in an organization. That is the tragedy. But praise God, as we keep with this, and we proclaim this message, the kingdom of God, what pertains to it, God will provide. God is building now his church. The true called out saints who are seeing this now, who are seeing the bigger picture, who've had enough of religion, who've had enough of the bondage of man, who want to be set free by the word of God. You see, nobody can boast in any of this. When you preach this teaching, this message that Christ preached, it reveals that at the foot of the cross, the ground is level for all. Do you know, the sad thing about it is that Muslims seem to know something about that. Do you know that when they go into their mosques and they worship Allah, you may have a lawyer go in, you may have a doctor that goes in, and you may have a road sweeper that goes in, or somebody who's a cleaner, and they will all bow and they will all go down at the same height. They had more understanding in that way, outwardly, than even Christians do. But the proclamation of the kingdom is the ground is level for all. Whatever our background, whatever our creed, whatever we come out from, education, you name it. We are all disciples of Christ, and we all daily take up our cross and follow him. And we put that hand to the plough, we do not look back. And sometimes we bear the cost of being a disciple. The world out there knows how to crucify you. You are rejected, you are not wanted. That is why you're a disciple of Christ. You're God's peculiar treasure. You're here today because the world outside has rejected you. But God hasn't rejected you. Hallelujah. Move her feet around. Do you move her feet around? Sorry about this. She's balanced now. She's all right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, this is the bigger picture, brothers and sisters. Are you seeing this bigger picture? Well, the question is, as we bring this to a conclusion now, do you want to see this bigger picture? Do you want to get this deliverance? Because I know the word of God at times is not easy. It very often has our name and address on it, but I thank God for that. Because I believe love will always ultimately present the truth in that right time and way. And the truth does set us free. And that freedom is that we can begin to see the kingdom of God. And we begin to see the bigger picture. And to see the kingdom of God is healing, deliverance. This is why we're a great believer that the word goes forth with signs following of healing, deliverance, salvation. And so often we find that you get that deliverance, that change, that healing, just sitting in your chair as the word of God is preached. Because you're beginning to see the kingdom. And in the kingdom, there is no corruption. In the kingdom, there's no lie, no deception. In the kingdom, there's no disease or sickness. And you begin to see it. And not only do you begin to see it, you begin to feed off it. Because you're entering into it. This is what the overcomers are now beginning to do. As the bride's making herself ready, they're pressing into it. They're desperate for it. Why? What is the desperation? Because you're starting to taste of it. You're beginning to see it's eternal, it's going to last forever, it's not corrupt. You no longer want this kingdom anymore. That's why we're pilgrims passing through, sojourners. But you need revelation for that. You need to be illumined. Flesh and blood can't reveal these things. You know, I can preach it, but unless you receive it, unless you take the mantle of this, it's just a dead letter. A dead letter. But God has a remnant. And my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. That is why we pray for the sick. This is why we pray the prayer of faith. This is why we encourage you to start to walk by faith and not trusting in the arm of the flesh or finances or bankers and all this thing where if that's all going down the plug hole, as we say. It's going to come to an end. Don't put your strength in banking and commerce. Not even your own job. You don't know. Next week you may be out of a job. That's how it is. But when you seek the kingdom, everything will be provided. Everything that you need in this world to preserve and to keep you, to feed you, everything will be provided and given to you because God loves us. But you've got to be seeking the kingdom. And what pertains to the kingdom. And be embracing the kingdom message and its teaching. Because that is what's building the church now in these last days. Because there's a bride who's going to make herself ready. There's a bride to be adorned. Because the bridegroom is coming for his bride. But she has to be taught. She has to receive the pure word of God to make herself ready. And God will do it. He will do it. He is faithful. Hallelujah. Well, are you seeing the bigger picture? That is the question. I trust that you are and you will. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, again we thank you for teaching us today. Thank you, Lord, that it has always been the saints of old, their true message. All the saints throughout history, whether under the old covenant or the new, saw a kingdom to be inherited, to enter in. And Father, I pray in your mercy and grace you will restore now this revelation and teaching to the church, the true remnant in these last days. That we look away from self, we look away from circumstances, and that we seek the kingdom, because that is the picture, that is the message of these last days. And we thank you now for this, in Jesus' name.
Till it finds fulfillment. us in here.